Good evening. This is Leif Eden, Washington, once more with Pro and Con. Tonight again, Pro and Con is about communism. Communism in the United States, and the proposal to control it through the Mundt-Nixon bill. Last week on Pro and Con, we heard Representative Charles J. Kirsten defending the bill. He said that to say under this bill that even a labor union might be called a communist political organization is nothing but sheer sophistry. He said it would not drive communism underground, but would force communists above ground, into the open, where people can see them. And most important, would sever the nerve through which Moscow controls the American Communist Party. Tonight, Pro and Con presents a man who doesn't agree. Our speaker was to have been Representative John Albert Carroll of Colorado, but unfortunately, he has been taken ill. So we've invited Representative Herman P. Eberharter of Pennsylvania, who graciously accepted. Representative Eberharter is a Democrat, now completing his 12th year in Congress and a member of the House Ways and Means Committee. And now speaking on the Subversive Activities Control Act, here is Representative Herman P. Eberharter.
The Mundt bill, which was passed by the House of Representatives on Wednesday, raises issues as fundamental as any which this country has faced since the Constitution was adopted in 1789. I was one of those who opposed the Mundt bill on the floor and who voted against it. I don't think I have to explain that I am opposed to communism in principle, in practice, and am aware of its dangers. The issues which the Mundt bill raises are fundamental, in my opinion, because they go to the very heart of the democratic process, which is freedom of speech. The wise men who founded this country in the 18th century had in their own lifetime gone through a bitter struggle to preserve a freedom of speech. To make their victory secure in this country, they wrote into the Constitution, as the First Amendment, a declaration that the Congress of the United States might not abridge, and I quote, the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances, end of quote. And now, 159 years later, the same old problem of the power of the government to curb free expression confronts us in a new guise. Communism asserts that the way to progress and prosperity lies through the establishment of a dictatorship, which will impose by force a uniformity of opinion and political belief. As citizens of a free country, we repudiate this idea. We know that it is false, false in logic, and false in history. How shall we combat it? The answer which the Mundt bill gives is that we shall fight it with its own weapons and deprive it of freedom of speech, giving it exactly the same treatment which it has in store for us should it succeed. In other words, the Mundt bill proposes to make it illegal to advocate communism in the United States. Now, to my mind, this is a fatal error. This means that we sacrifice our traditions in order to preserve them. It is nonsense, and dangerous nonsense. The proponents of the Mundt bill will tell you very seriously that the bill does not do this. They say they have tried to draw a bill which will curb communism without endangering our constitutional liberty. They say the bill does not outlaw the Communist Party. I say that in these contentions they are wrong, and I can prove it from the bill itself. Here is what it does. The first section describes the world communist movement and says that its aim is to establish a totalitarian dictatorship in all the countries of the world. It says further that these dictatorships are to be under the control of a world communist movement, which has its headquarters in a country which we know to be the Soviet Union. I do not disagree with these findings. The bill then goes on to describe a communist political organization, which is an organization under the control of the world communist movement and having the same objectives, namely to establish totalitarian dictatorships. The bill then lays down rules requiring communist political organizations to register with the Attorney General. And when they register, they must list the names of all their members and leaders. Up to this point, I agree that the Communist Party is not outlawed. But then comes the stinger. Section 4 of the bill makes it a crime, punishable by $10,000 fine and 10 years in jail, and the loss of United States citizenship, to act in any manner with intent to establish a totalitarian dictatorship under communist control in the United States. Notice the words, any manner. That means writing, or speaking, or offering a constitutional amendment, or running for Congress on a communist platform. Now, the leaders and members of the Communist Party do these things. Their names are to be disclosed under the registration provision of the bill. And the inescapable conclusion is that the Department of Justice must prosecute every single one of them for a crime. This is not all. If a Communist Party does not register with the Attorney General, as required by the Act, and the leaders of the Communist Party have already announced that they will not register, then Section 10 of the Act provides that they all must be prosecuted in the courts for remaining as members of the Communist Party. Thus, the bill exposes all communists to criminal prosecution either way, if the Communist Party registers and if it does not register. Once this bill becomes law, it will be a crime in the United States to be a member of the Communist Party. To my mind, this is outlawing the Communist Party. And I do not see why the proponents of the bill try to gloss over this fact. It is there in plain, unmistakable language. The question remains, is such outlawry a good thing or not? The weight of opinion says it is not. FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover says it is not. Attorney General Tom Clark says it is not. So does President Truman. So does Senator Taft. So does Governor Dewey. And also, by implication, so do the members of the House Un-American Activities Committee. And why do these distinguished people feel this way? In the first place, such outlawry is unconstitutional. The freedom of expression, which is the foundation stone of democracy laid by our forefathers in the First Amendment, means freedom to express ideas, even if they are unpopular, dangerous, or even subversive. This is the principle our forefathers bled and died for, and this is the principle which has made our country great. This does not mean that we are defenseless against communism. Far from it. Governor Dewey has counted 27 laws which can be used against communists when they get out of bounds and indulge in illegal behavior. They can be prosecuted for sabotage, espionage, conspiracy to overthrow the government. They can be compelled under the Federal Corrupt Practices Act to disclose their contributions and their political expenditures. We have laws to protect the security of the United States. It is not necessary to indulge in dangerous, unconstitutional experiments. In the second place, outlawing the Communist Party as the Mundt Bill does is dangerous because it will drive the communists further underground where they will be harder to reach. There is another danger which this bill carries, and that is a danger to liberal and progressive organizations which may, under the complicated procedures of the bill, be accused of being communist fronts. There are organizations which are actually created and controlled by the Communist Party and fraudulently set before the public as innocent institutions. But on the other hand, many bona fide organizations have, at one time or another, been infiltrated by communists. But these bona fide organizations have succeeded in throwing out all communistic sympathizers. The House Un-American Activities Committee has never made any distinction between these two types of organizations. It has smeared anti-communists who have been fighting communism within the ranks of bona fide organizations. The procedures of the Mundt Bill, in my opinion, do not clear up the confusion which the Un-American Activities Committee has done so much to create in this field. Also, the bill gives the Attorney General of the United States, now and in the future, tremendous powers in the vaguest kind of language. There is grave danger that he will smear innocent citizens as communist fronts, and it is certain that the Un-American Activities Committee will be constantly pressuring him to do so. Aside from the fact that this bill violates our basic political ideas, my greatest objection to it is that it seems to me the wrong way to handle a communism. The greatest strength of the Communist Party lies not in its methods of conspiracy, nor in its foreign ties, nor in its practices of treachery and deceit, but its greatest appeal lies in appealing to the victims of social injustice and economic hardship, and to those who desire to better the condition of their fellow men. The best attack against communism is to prove that this appeal is a hollow fraud, to show that the Communist Party is not truly concerned with social reform, and that the measures and tactics which it advocates are not capable of achieving it. I believe that the democratic ideal on which this nation was founded is still strong enough to defeat the undemocratic principles of communism. There are many others who feel as I do. Many organizations, such as Americans for Democratic Action, who are strongly opposed to communism, have aided in the fight against the bill. I do not believe that we have to violate our own principles in order to destroy communism. I think we can do the job much better if we rely on our own traditions, protecting ourselves as we must from crime and violence, but meeting false political ideas with true political ideas and working constantly to create a better life for all Americans.
Thank you, Representative Eberharter. Ladies and gentlemen, Pro and Con has just presented Representative Herman P. Eberharter, Democrat of Pennsylvania, speaking on the Subversive Activities Control Act of 1948. Although the Munt Bill, or the Subversive Activities Control Act, passed the House this week by an overwhelming vote, 319-58, Washington observers give it only a doubtful chance in the Senate. Powerful voices among the Republican leadership of the Senate have questioned its value and its constitutionality. For instance, Senator Taft raises the question of whether this bill would not only not bring communists above ground and into the open, but would drive them even deeper underground. He sees little chance that communists actually would register under it, because merely registering would practically amount to admitting something very near to treason. Others say that you can't kill an idea with a law, that ideas can't be controlled. And still others that say that we've got all the law that we need, as Representative Eberharter said tonight, and what we really need is more law enforcement. Hearings have been promised on the bill before the Senate Judiciary Committee, but senators seem reluctant to predict any action on the Munt-Nixon bill at this session. I've heard only one prediction that the Senate would do something on some kind of communist control bill during this session. And now this is Leif Eid in Washington saying good night for Pro and Con.
You have been listening to Pro and Con, a regular Friday night feature over most of these same NBC stations. Pro and Con is a public service feature presented by the National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations. Each week at this time, Leif Eid presents a prominent guest discussing a subject of topical interest. We invite you to listen next week at this same time. This program came to you from Washington. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.